Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. We're doing a series of stories about cancer this month, leading up to the new Ken Burns production, The Emperor of All Maladies, which airs on PBS stations at the end of March. Earlier on, we heard David Bolgiano's story. He went through one grueling cancer treatment after another, almost died, and then was cured. And that's what comes to mind with cancer, this kind of intense battle for survival, where the only concern is staying alive, beating the disease, no matter what it takes. But all the while, the everyday insanity of your life doesn't stop. Work schedules, carpools, homework, laundry piles, overdue bills. Combined with the existential angst of having a serious illness, the stress can become toxic and really impact patient outcomes. These days, treatment providers are doing more to address the emotional side effects of cancer.
I'm at my low ebb and sort of dragging. You know, it's the little nits, you know, that you get. You don't just get cancer, you get all these byproducts, you know.
Mary Donahue calls herself a cancer veteran. At 33, she was diagnosed with chronic lymphocytic leukemia. It starts with cells in the bone marrow and progresses from there. It's treatable, but not curable. She's also survived two bouts of breast cancer. She's 67, and right now, she's pouring her heart out to social worker Carol Deputy in a somewhat generic-looking office.
Little daily mundane things that you don't always have that reserve just for the day-to-day things that come up. For instance, this family situation. You know, how many people can you really share that with?
Over three decades of living in the shadow of cancer have taken a big emotional toll on Mary Donahue.
You live under the specter of the second shoe is going to drop.
At first, it was the big fears that kept her awake at night.
I had a little boy and it was, okay, what's going to happen?
These days, it's more the constant wear and tear of her leukemia, which makes her very susceptible to infections and changes her daily life.
For instance, the flu season is a scary time for me. I don't go to the movies, I don't go to church, I don't go to stores.
When she gets sick, even a little bit, she gets very anxious.
Because then I think, okay, can I overcome that? Because technically I could die of a cold.
But who do you share these constant fears and struggles with? Donahue didn't want to overburden her husband and close friends. Years of internalized worry, balancing her treatment and work schedules, finances, typical family stuff, it all caught up with her.
I ended up with this paralyzing depression, and it was my oncologist that said, you know, I think you need to talk with somebody.
This brought her to Carol Deputy's office. Deputy is the clinical director of the Cancer Care Connection. It's an organization based in Newark, Delaware, that provides counseling for people affected by cancer to help them cope with the stress and anxiety.
That emotion sometimes can paralyze someone. They are so worried about what might come that they aren't able to make a good decision for themselves. With counseling, what we're able to do is create the space to take a breath, talk about the options, and figure out what might be better.
Dealing with the emotional impact of cancer has become part of care in a more formal way. Since January of this year, cancer centers accredited by the American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer have to screen patients for emotional stress and refer them to counseling if needed. This new rule comes a few years after an Institute of Medicine report on the emotional effects of cancer, which found that when those issues are addressed, patients do much better. Here's Janet Texera, Executive Director of Cancer Care Connection.
They follow through on appointments, they follow through on medical advice, and therefore get a better outcome.
Is that your beeper?
It is.
At Fox Chase Cancer Center in Philadelphia, psychiatrist Karen Mechanic is much in demand.
Can you?
Sure. Mechanic is in charge of the emotional well-being of all the patients here and screening them for signs of emotional distress.
We actually ask them in a sort of a thermometer format, how distressed are you feeling today? So it's rated on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most distressed, 0 being the least.
The simple form patients fill out then asks them about specifics.
Physical problems, family problems, practical problems, emotional problems.
Anything over a 4 raises red flags, and patients are referred to counseling.
Every time I come to see Dr. Mechanic, I get this distress management form to complete. And to me, this is one of the best parts of it, just that part.
Mary LeBlanc is a breast cancer survivor and comes to see Dr. Mechanic for counseling.
Because I think it gives Dr. Mechanic a good idea of where I'm coming from. Am I going to start crying? Is it going to be a crisis? Or am I going to just talk about getting my kitchen redone? Today, I'm actually feeling really good because a couple of really good things have happened in my life for the last couple of weeks. And so I put myself between a 1 and a 2.
So low distress.
Very low distress for me. I always worry, so.
Mechanic and her team also screen family members for stress and provide services for them as well when needed.
Right, so it sounds like there's been a bit of a shift, not just at home, but at work.
Yes.
And imagining
back
how
in Newark at the Cancer Care
up,
Connection, Mary Donahue and social worker Carol Deputy are wrapping up their therapy session. Donahue says she's learned coping skills like mindfulness that help her deal with the anxiety. And her conversations with Donahue have validated her feelings.
And it's, oh, okay, I'm not that, so I'm normal.